is likely, all things being equal, likely to result, if not a sudden stop, I wouldn't necessarily go there, but in higher risk premia on a range of sterling assets, higher financing costs. The consequence of that is less of it will come in. People will make decisions around that. But in terms of market functioning, because you reference market functioning, I just wonder, Manoush, can I ask you just to say a word on this is not news, but I think it's important to understand that, you know, what we're doing as the bank as a whole is to use everything we can to mitigate any of these factors in and around the referendum, regardless of outcome. Our job is to try to mitigate, and maybe just say a word if you could.
Sure. I mean, on the sterling side, as you probably
that was Bank of England Governor Mark Carney. He has been talking about the Bank of England's decision to issue a strong warning about the impact of a decision to leave the European Union on the British economy. The pound at the moment, 144.41, has actually fallen after he said that it is possible Britain could go into recession. This is Bloomberg Radio.
This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Even coming into, I guess, like the month before Brexit, we are expecting that you could get some downside pressure coming onto the euro.
We actually think this is an opportunity-rich environment if you do have good research, you're patient, and disciplined.
I think we're going to continue to see swings in energy prices, but we'll have an opportunity for the stocks to rally as energy prices go back up.
Bloomberg Surveillance, your link to the world of economics, finance, and investment on Bloomberg Radio. This is WBBR New York, WDCH-FM, Bowie, Baltimore, Washington, WJZ-FM, HD2, Catonsville, WXKS, Newton, WJMN, 94.5 FM, HD2, Boston, KNEW, Oakland, KOSF, 103.7 FM, HD2, San Francisco, and SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 119.
Welcome back to Bloomberg Surveillance. 8 o'clock on Wall Street. I'm Michael McKee along with Tom Keane, the Bank of England, holding policy steady but suggesting there is a major economic risk should the country vote to leave the European Union. A lot of other news happening this morning as well. Let's check in with Karen Moscow for a news and markets update.
Thanks so much, Mike. Well, we do have a headline crossing the Bloomberg right now. Honeywell planning to spin off its resins and chemicals business. We also had news on Monsanto. As you told us, Bayer exploring a potential bid for U.S. competitor Monsanto in a deal that would create the world's largest supplier of seeds and farm chemicals. This is according to people familiar with the matter who say the German firm has held preliminary discussions internally and with advisors about buying Monsanto, which has a market value of almost $40 billion. Futures this morning, we're watching their rising. S&P E-mini futures up 13.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 87. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 26. The DAX in Germany's up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. The yield 1.75%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 47 cents to $46.70 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $7.30 to $12.68 an ounce. The euro, $1.1382. The British pound, $1.4439. And the yen, 109.3. For Tom and Mike.
Karen, thank you so much. What a morning for economics and international economics. We'll bring you all the headlines from Governor Carney. Bloomberg Surveillance, brought to you by CohnReznick. Accounting tax advisory. As economic policy changes, so do business decisions. Speak to the experts at CohnReznick for forward-thinking advice that you need. Find out more at CohnReznick.com. We need to find out more, Michael McKee, on BOE, the import of this press conference. All of them are different nation to nation. It is important that we bring in someone whose accent has not been lost, ensconced in New York. John Farrow joins us right now. John, I can honestly say I've never seen a central bank governor, leader, chair gamed on recession as much as early in that press conference.
Yeah, I want to take you in the room. I've been in that room many times covering news conferences for Bloomberg. That was the most tense news conference for Governor Carney since he took the helm. And I would say the most tense news conference since Mervyn King was the governor in the depths of the financial crisis. A very delicate situation as a politically independent central bank wades into a very political subject. And the risks around Brexit is what he emphasized, Tom. And it's the elephant in the room. It's what he called it. And a real prospect, if indeed the UK votes to leave the European Union, at least in his mind, a real prospect of a recession.
Well, put this in context for us. If the United States Federal Reserve were to say, you know, there was a financial risk or a risk to the dollar from something, it would raise political hackles from a lot of people. Carney wading into the middle of this. One of the reporters said the British people anxious to hear from an independent voice. Do people see the Bank of England as more independent of politics than they think of as the Federal Reserve here in the United States?
I think it's worth emphasizing this is probably one of the most politically independent central banks on the planet. I think what's not helped is the reaction of the government more than the reaction of the central bank. You will have noticed, Michael, that as soon as we had that decision from the Bank of England and as soon as we got the details from the statement, Prime Minister David Cameron went straight on Twitter and said he agreed with the Bank of England's decision to emphasize the risks to the economy. That's not going to help anybody when they're trying to say that they're politically independent.
John Farrell with us, and now joining us a gentleman who has signed a letter with 199 other economists this morning. David Blanchflower is at Dartmouth College, former member of the Bank of England, and one of the leading critics of shades of austerity across our global economic system. Professor Blanchflower, I have two quick questions. Why did you sign your letter? And it seemed to be a very ecumenical letter across all of economics.
Yes, I think it's a very broad group of people. In some sense, it reflects what Governor Carney actually said, and particularly in his statement about the downside risk to the UK economy from Brexit. It's hard to see. I mean, if you think of risk, when the central banks worry about our risk balance to the upside or to the downside, essentially what you heard from him was a whole list of risks to the UK economy, to the downside, to the exchange rate, to demand, to supply. And he ducked questions about, does Brexit actually mean the R word?
Right.
And eventually kind of hedged a little bit and said, well, it's possible we could have a technical recession. So I think the answer is that it looks at the risks of doing so right now as economy, particularly the UK economy, is slowing, look to the downside, and economists are very worried about a leap to the unpleasant unknown.
I want to take the other side, professors. You know we do. Gerard Lyons writing in the Times of London this weekend in support of Brexit. It was a lonely letter, but no doubt with a large support across your United Kingdom. What did Mr. Lyons get wrong within his analysis that Brexit would not harm Britain?
Well, a good friend of mine, Gerard Lyons, we were actually graduate students together. I mean, Gerard is a sensible economist. There are differences in view, but I think it's much more of a leap of faith. I mean, there's another letter from eight economists that Gerard signed, and essentially in that letter, the argument was made that it clearly would have a major impact on manufacturing, but that wouldn't matter. You can just let manufacturing go. And freedom is a good thing. But I think it was really very much tied to the politics of being separate from the EU, which is seen as a sort of socialist way of regulating the UK economy. So I think if you listen to the debate today, the economics appear to be soundly on the side that this is a downside risk. Some people take the view that the freedom this might bring, it's a price worth paying. But the problem they have is they haven't enumerated what Brexit would actually mean. Brexit to what? What arrangement would there be? Would you take the Norwegian model where you have a relationship with the EU, you pay your money, but you don't get to vote? Or would it be some looser arrangement where you have to do hundreds of bilateral trade deals? And President Obama said, well, we wouldn't do something simply with the US. So that gives enhanced uncertainty, essentially rubber stamped today by the MPC. I'm reading his statement. It says a vote to leave the UK could have material economic effects, and I agree with that.
Well, let me ask John Farrell quickly the state of the British economy right now. It has turned down. How much of that is cyclical? How much of that is Brexit uncertainty?
I think it's so incredibly difficult to strip out the uncertainty, but when you look at services, Michael, the PMI was at a three-year low. You've got to take notice and sit up and take notice of that because it makes up the bulk of the economy. My question to Danny at this point would be, Danny, should they be cutting rates, bottom line?
Well, actually, I think I would have virtually voted for a rate cut, but I certainly perhaps would have been persuaded by other members of the committee that would be seen to be too political. It's back to Tom and Mike's question. And there might be a danger that that would compromise the MPC's kind of credibility. But I think the evidence is clearly that, and I think Carney was signaling, and the report signals it. If there's a vote to Brexit, the strategy probably quite clearly, given the downside shock that's coming, a cut would come. Obviously, the other one is even if you're in Remain, not you're right that the PMIs have slowed, but so is business
right.
confidence. So is the labor market. Retail sales values are falling. So I think this, and the market thinks that the next move will actually be a cut. So
right.
I think, yes, it will be. The question will be when.
Well, let's come back. We're going to come back with Professor Blanchflower. We're going to throw John Farrell out of the studio. he's way too young. He's way too handsome to be in here with us. But we're going to continue with Professor Blanchflower. There is a headline which gives pause. Carney sees possibility of global negative Brexit spillovers. Stay with us this important morning.
Let's get you caught up on what's happening around the world. We turn to Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Mike. Tom, Brazil's Senate has voted to suspend President Dilma Rousseff from office and start an impeachment trial. The vote was 55-22 this morning. Rousseff is accused of illegally doctoring fiscal accounts to hide the size of the budget deficit. Donald Trump will meet today with House Speaker Paul Ryan and other Republicans on Capitol Hill who are reluctant to support the presumptive nominee. The Obama administration will unveil today rules on the limit of methane emissions. The rule is designed to reduce leaks of methane from oil wells. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus from around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Mike, Tom?
Michael Barr, thank you so much. We are monitoring the Carney press conference in England. It is quite tense, but yet not all market moving. As Michael McKee mentioned, sterling stronger than weaker, 144.38 on cable. That would be pound sterling as compared to the U.S. Dollar. And again, news from Brazil. President Rousseff impeached this morning. We'll have much more. From England, Bloomberg Surveillance.
The news update brought to you by Elbow Beach Bermuda, an oceanfront enclave of classic style and contemporary luxury, 50 acres of lush gardens and a private ribbon of pink sand beach. Go to elbowbeachbermuda.com for more details.
Global business news, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are rising along with oil. And let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures continue to rally after yesterday's sell-off. Dow futures currently higher by 90 points. S&P's gained 13.5, and Nasdaq futures rise by 26. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.74%. And European markets are also rising, led by 1.3% gains in Spain. On the U.S. economic front, at 8:30, import price index and initial jobless claims. And at 10:30, natural gas storage change. Regarding earnings this morning, Ralph Lauren beat. Kohl's missed. Shares are down 7% pre-market. In deal news, Bayer said to explore a bid for Monsanto. Monsanto is trading higher by 17% pre-market. And Honeywell to spin off its resins and chemicals business. Finally, some of your Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Santa Fe raised overweight at Barclays. And Janus Capital cut to market reform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the first breaking news desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
And Karen, thanks so much. Futures up 13. Dow futures up 86. Sterling, 144.50. Flat. Stronger, weaker, now flat. Governor Carney continues comments on the state of the United Kingdom and global ramifications of Brexit. Bloomberg Surveillance this morning brought to you by Invesco. Invesco believes it's time to bench the benchmarks. To consider active management and factor-based strategies, find out more at Invesco.com/high conviction. Invesco, I-N-V-E-S-C-O, Invesco.com/high conviction. David Blanchflower with us with Dartmouth College, and we look at the headlines coming out as Governor Carney walks a most difficult path right now. Again, I go back to the headline 13 minutes ago, Carney sees possibility of global negative Brexit spillovers. That's a tough sell to a lot of people, Professor Blanchflower. Why does Brexit EU matter in Asia?
Well, the big line in the report is that global financial conditions could tighten, perhaps because risks of breakup in the rest of the European Union would probably follow from it. I mean, there are these words, what, Grexit and Nexit and other things. I mean, the assumption is that aggregate demand in the UK and Europe falls, and this has spillovers. I mean, the thing we learned in 2008 is once something falls, we saw in the US, it has implications to the rest of the world. That's, in a sense, what globalization means. We actually are all in these things together. What happens in financial markets in Europe has implications for the rest of the world. So I think he's right to warn that. The big question is, why did the MPC duck making an actual mathematical forecast as to what it would mean if there was a Brexit? And that's what a lot of the questioning in the press conference has been about. On the one side, Carney's trying to say we need to be careful about the politics. But the questions say, well, you've given us the words. What about the numbers? And he said, and they talked about there being a shock to the pound. And he wouldn't answer when he was asked, well, it's gone down 9%. In the last in the last few months, how much of a shock do you think it would be? A 20% shock? So obviously that's an issue. But I think this means in a global economy, which we saw in 2008, a big negative shock to the fifth largest economy in the world would have implications everywhere else.
Now, Governor Carney said, should that happen, the Bank of England obviously right. has scope to lower interest rates. They're at 50 basis points, so they could
right.
cut the base rate. But going into the meeting, there was a forecast of 40% chance of a rate cut from the Bank of England this year based
right.
on economic developments as measured by swap rates. What's your likely scenario for BOE policy outside of Brexit?
So a very good question, Mike. I think the telling thing that Carney said was that the evidence is that the UK economy is slowing. He actually said that the MPC decided that half of that was probably because of the fears of Brexit. And the suspicion would be if there was no Brexit vote, then things would turn around. But he said there are risks to that. So the risk here is actually that I think there's a lot of evidence in the data that, in fact, the UK economy started to turn perhaps before this Brexit idea became so close to people's minds, particularly because the polls are so close. But it looks to me that the labor market turned down, the PMIs, business confidence turned down, consumer confidence turned down, and retail sales volumes did too. So even in the face of the market yield curve generating more stimulus. So I think that really is the question. It looks to me that even on the Remain side, the forecast is overly optimistic. They're still forecasting a huge jump in investment next year, that wage growth will suddenly, instead of falling as it's been doing recently, it will suddenly jump again. So this looks a highly optimistic forecast, even if there's a Remain. So my view would be the market is right. I think the next move will be a cut. The question simply will be when, and it'll be true that it'll be a cut whether there's a Remain or Brexit. And especially if there's a Brexit, that will be a major negative shock to the UK economy.
The constant question is, what if the UK votes for Brexit? What will be the implications? But what if they vote to stay in? What happens?
Well, what happens
on the 24th of June, the day after?
Yeah, well, essentially you carry on in the same way. I mean, that's what the forecast has been. And then there has to be a kind of a clarification as to whether the slowing was really driven by the fear of leaving or not. Because once the Brexit vote, say, has been turned down, then you get clarity. But there will, so I think that's what we'll see. But I think the reality is that the UK economy had started to slow already. And the story, of course, is the timing of this vote. I think I've said on your program many times, the business cycle turns. We're about 8 years in to, a shock
right.
came in the start of 2008. Well, now we're in 2016. Presumably, another shock is coming or has actually probably arrived. And central bankers are very bad at picking those turning points. So my great question, but I think the downside shock is relevant in both scenarios.
Never enough time. David Blanchflower, Danny Blanchflower of Dartmouth College, thank you so much. He again signed a letter with 199 other economists today pushing back against Brexit. From New York, Michael McKee and Tom Keene, Governor Carney still speaking, Bloomberg Surveillance.
Coming up, the With All Due Respect highlight brought to you by Land Rover. If it's in your nature to cast off the everyday and seek adventure, the Discovery Sport was built to help your search. Visit Land Rover, tristate.com, or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for details. Land Rover, above and beyond.